Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to say it because you know it, but I'm going to say it anyway. We live in a really bizarre world. We live in a society that does things that sometimes don't make a whole lot of sense to us. We live in a world where people make choices and have ideas that seem a little odd. We live in a world where the rules and the regulations always don't seem to match the situation might call for. In California, there is a family. The family is there with a couple of young children, and they have a nanny who, because of health reasons, became a former nanny. And this former nanny, even though she's not working, refuses to leave the house. How bizarre is that? To make it even more complicated, the family then went in turn and took the nanny to court. Get the nanny out of the house. And the court said, no, she gets to stay. We run into this quite often, not this particular situation, but the whole idea where the application of the law doesn't always seem to make a whole lot of sense. Think about the process that takes place within our government. We have people that we basically hire, we vote for, we elect, we place them into office, they create the laws, and then we have a judicial system that is called to uphold those laws and to see that they're enforced. Well, what ends up happening is there is an idea, an intent, that this law will accomplish this for the sake of this group of people. In this case, in California, the law was put in place for unscrupulous landlords who might go and throw people out on the street willy-nilly because they have an opportunity to make some more money. And so they create this law that says, you can't do this. That's the intent. But the application or the letter of the law makes it so. Some bizarre 63-year-old nanny gets to stay in a house where she really doesn't deserve to be, to cause all kinds of problems for the family that she used to work for. The intent of what we put forth doesn't always come through when we follow the letter of the law. But we like the letter of the law. Why do we like the letter of the law? Because it gives us loopholes. The letter of the law can be great, especially when you're doing that whole April 15th thing with the IRS. And you look for the loopholes. You look for the ways you might not be able to have to give away as much money back to the government as you'd like to, because there are those things that exist that weren't put into place for us necessarily, but still apply to us, because that's the letter of the law. A.J. Jacobs is a writer for Esquire magazine. Interesting guy. He's a guy dedicated to his task. He's a man who will set forth a project, and he will live that project out to the fullest extent that he possibly can. I'll give you an example. He wrote an article for Esquire that was called My Outsourced Life. And so for a month, he outsourced his entire life. He had people in Bangladesh and India answering his emails, answering his telephone calls. And guys, he even had them arguing with his wife. He spent a month watching TV and reading books. All the other stuff he outsourced to have somebody else do. His wife wasn't really happy, I understand, with this whole project that he put forth in the end, but that was the type of person, is the type of person that Jacobs is. He recently wrote a book, probably about, I guess, now 7 years ago, called My Year of Living Biblically. And so for a year, he tried his very best to follow each and every mandate and law that was subscribed forth in the Bible. He ended up with a big long beard because he wasn't sure where the sides of his beard were that weren't supposed to be trimmed, so he just let it all go. He went to a specialist to make sure that he was wearing the right sort of clothing because the Bible tells you you can't use mixed fabrics in terms of what you wear. He carried a portable seat with him because men are not allowed to sit in a seat that was previously occupied by a woman because they would run the risk of contamination taking place. His wife was so frustrated with what he had done in terms of this project that she went around and purposely sat in every seat in the house so he would not be able to sit down. Jacobs is marginally Jewish. He says he's as Jewish as the Olive Garden is Italian. He really describes himself best as an agnostic. But it was this experience he had in terms of living biblically that he began to understand a little bit more in terms of God's call within an individual's life to really serve compassionately within the world in which he lived. He didn't understand a great many of the laws, and he began to understand that Christianity and Judaism really kind of are buffet religions. We go in to this theological smorgasbord and we pick and choose the things that we want to have applied to our lives. We pick the things that we want to follow and we ignore the things that don't make sense. And he said that's okay because you can't really do all of the things that take place on a literal basis within the Bible because their application doesn't necessarily match with society today. One of his examples was the biblical mandate to stone adulterers. Think about that. How do you match that up with thou shalt not kill, love your neighbor as yourself? I'm going to now stone you to death because of your actions. And so he did. He was in a park. Because of the way he was dressed, many people would engage him in conversation because he looked like a Middle Eastern prophet wandering around the streets of New York. And so a 70-year-old man approached him about why he was dressed the way he was and looking the way he was, and he began to describe things. And one of the things they began to talk about was the fact that he's supposed to stone an adulterer. And the man informed him, well, I am an adulterer. And so he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of pebbles that he had been carrying around for this very moment, and much to the annoyance of the man, he stoned him. Maybe not to death, but nonetheless, he fulfilled the mandate. You see, what we run into a lot of times is the understanding of what we have in the Bible as being there as a directive to lead us and guide us, but those directives don't necessarily seem to keep in step with what we understand within our world and within our society. And so we become those sort of smorgasbord buffet Christians who pick and choose the ones that really make sense. Most of the times we choose wisely. Sometimes we skip things out of convenience for ourselves, but a lot of times we tend to walk away from the ones that don't really fit in with that mandate that Jesus placed of the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and to love your neighbor as yourself. Because Jesus says under these two guidelines, all of the words of the law and the prophets fall. In today's gospel lesson, We're hearing about the righteous. We're hearing about, what's the other word? Oh my goodness, it just left my mind. The righteous and the prophets. The righteous receive the word, the reward of the righteous. The prophet receives the reward of the prophet. You get what you deserve. You're not going to get anything more. But if you give a cup of water to somebody who needs a cup of water, if you act out of compassion, if you share that love that God has fulfilled in your life and shared it with another person, then you get the reward for which you justly deserve. See, as we pick and choose, as we go through life trying to be the best people we can and understand the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ and that love that God has placed within our hearts, as we go through that biblical smorgasbord of understanding exactly what it is God would intend us to do, it is the acts of love. It is the acts of compassion that truly fulfill that biblical mandate that Jesus placed before us. To be able to use ourselves to serve others, to be able to take that love that God has placed within our hearts and share it with the world around us, to be able to take those gifts that so much make us who we are and use them in a way to be able to fulfill the needs of others and to be able to help people in the situations where they find themselves. You see, when we pick, called to pick love. We're called to choose to do those things that God would have us do that truly allow the world to understand that we love our Lord and we love our neighbor and that we're willing to do anything at all. Even giving a cup of water to the thirsty. To be able to see that those mandates and those laws are fulfilled. Fulfilled through the love that God has blessed us with. Fulfilled through that compassion that so fills our hearts, that allows us to understand that what God blesses us with is a blessing that we share with the world around us. If you want to be righteous, you'll get the reward of the righteous. If you want to be prophetic, you'll get the reward of the prophet. You want to serve God, then you share His love. And then you'll get a reward that will never be forgotten. Amen.